ask Brother Jim to read those verses there in Genesis. That'll be part of my text today, but if you followed along with him, just mark your place there and turn back to Hebrews chapter 11, if you will. We'll use both of these texts here because they relate to each other in a lot of specific ways. A more excellent sacrifice. In Hebrews 11 and verse 4, and you remember what Hebrews 11 is all about, and if you don't, Bill preached a whole series of messages through this chapter, excellent messages that you might want to get a hold of and look at if you want to. This is all about the hall of, I call it the hall of fame of faith. It's about many Old Testament saints who by faith did this and this. They wondered and all kind of things. But it's about Old Testament saints who believed the same gospel you and I believe. They had the same righteousness you and I have. They trusted the same Savior we trust. It says here in Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. All right, let's review this age-old story of Cain and Abel here that Brother Jim read here in Genesis 4. I'm just going to look at these first five verses primarily, but it says, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. He's the firstborn here. And Eve said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep. But Cain, he was a farmer. He was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. He brought of the works of his hands. He had some good produce or something to bring, and he brought it, expecting God to accept it. And Abel, verse 4, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. He accepted Abel. He accepted his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had no respect. He didn't accept Cain. He didn't accept his offering. Now, in the message today, we will consider four reasons we read back here that Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And I want to show you four reasons why Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than the sacrifice of Cain. As we see here, Abel was a keeper of the sheep. He brought a lamb of his flock. He brought a blood sacrifice. Abel's sacrifice was more excellent first because it pictured and typified the substitutionary sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abel knew Christ as the woman seed. He was the promised Savior, one whose sacrifice would end all sacrifices. And you might ask, well, how did Abel know this promised seed? Well, he heard about him from the first declaration of Christ in the Bible, way back there in Genesis 3 and verse 15. If you're right there, you can look at this, verse 14. Genesis 3, 14, and the Lord said unto the serpent, after the serpent beguiled Eve and led Adam into rebellion, the Lord pronounces a curse on him, and the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And here's the declaration of Christ, the first one in the Bible, right here. And he said to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now, the woman has no seed. He's talking about Christ here. He's talking about the woman seed, the woman who would be born of a virgin. And it, that is Christ, will bruise thy head, crush it, take the life out of it, take the sting out of it, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God pronounced a curse upon the serpent because he had deceived Eve and led Adam into rebellion against God. He pronounced hatred here between the woman, between Satan's seed and her, the woman's seed. And as I said, this is the first declaration of Christ and his victory over sin and Satan. Christ would be born without the aid of Adam, without any connection to Adam whatsoever. He was born of a virgin. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And that woman seed, Christ, would bruise the head of Satan. He would render a death blow to Satan, which he did at the cross by his obedience unto death. He rendered a death blow to Satan. And Satan would bruise Christ's heel, which he did by tempting him and tormenting him throughout his life and by influencing those who eventually put Christ to death. Something else you might be wondering about Abel. How did Abel know to bring a blood sacrifice? How did he know that? Who taught him that? Well, he learned it from Adam and Eve's experience after the fall. Look at Genesis 3:21. It says, "Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." When Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden tree and their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked, which means that they knew they were exposed to the wrath of God. But they didn't come to God and admit their mistake, did they? No, they sewed fig leaves together to cover up their mistake, and they hid themselves among the trees of the garden. They tried to cover their sin, and they tried to hide from God. See, that's a picture of natural man. I mean, natural man is hiding from God, even in the religion of this world, like Brother Jason preached this morning. I mean, there's nothing about God in that religion, not the true and living God, not the true Christ of the Word. And that's where man's hiding out, religious man. But God came to Adam and Eve. He didn't wait for them to come to him. He came to them, and he restored to them the fellowship that sin had broken. He killed an animal, probably a lamb, to show that sin must be punished. It can't go unpunished. No sin can go unpunished. And to show that sin would be punished in a God-appointed substitute, that is, a lamb. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. A lamb without spot or without blemish. And then God took the skin of that slain animal and he made coats of skins for Adam and Eve. Now that's a picture of that precious robe of righteousness that Christ worked out by his obedience unto death. The blood sacrifice Abel brought declared that he had nothing of himself to offer that would make him acceptable to God. His sacrifice now spoke of his unworthiness. It spoke of his undeservedness. It declared that he was totally dependent upon the innocence, the righteousness of another. He was looking to the one pictured in his sacrifice. He was not looking to anything in himself. He said, like the song says, "In my hand, no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Now Cain, on the other hand, he's a tiller of the ground. He's a farmer. And he brought the fruit of the ground. He brought the best that his hands produced. There's no reason to think that he didn't take the most excellent crops he had and take the best of that and bring them to God. He's looking, after all, for acceptance from God. Cain's sacrifice, that's his offering, it reeked of self-righteousness. It declared, "I've done something worthy of your acceptance. I've produced something that qualifies me to come into your presence." Cain's sacrifice declared nothing of a need for a substitute. And that's what every sinner declares who comes to God, pleading anything as the ground or cause of their acceptance, but the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cain was like that Pharisee that Brother Jason preached on this morning in Luke 18. He trusted in himself that he was righteous. But that Pharisee went to his house unjustified, not like the publican who went justified. Likewise, Cain and his offering, like that Pharisee, was rejected. Cain and his offering was rejected by God. The first reason Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice was because it pictured and typified the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what was pictured in every sacrifice, from the one where God shed the blood of an animal and clothed Adam and Eve with the skin all the way up to the time Christ offered his. Everyone up to the time Christ died on that cross was a picture and type of Christ. So if we look back to Hebrews 4 now, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. The second reason Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain's is because it was offered by faith. You see, by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. And by faith means two things here. It means that it was offered in obedience to the revealed will of God. And second, it means it was offered by the confidence of one to whom God has given faith. Now let's talk about those two things, two reasons why about faith. First, Abel's sacrifice was offered in obedience to the revealed will of God. Abel knew how to worship God. He knew how to approach God. He knew what God required. He knew what God commanded of those who sought worship, to worship him. He knew God's mind on this matter. And he knew because he'd been taught. God taught Adam the right way to approach him in worship when he sacrificed that lamb and made those coats of skins. And Adam taught his sons. He taught Cain, the eldest, and Abel, the youngest. We know he taught them. How do we know that? Because Abel came the way of acceptance with God. He found acceptance. He learned the way to come and be accepted by God. It's not reasonable that Adam taught Abel, his younger brother, the right way of worship, and he didn't teach Cain. No, he taught both these boys the right way to approach God in worship. Abel believed God. See? He followed the instructions of God. He came by faith. He came in obedience to God's revealed will by way of worship. Cain, on the other hand, he was taught too, but he rejected God's instructions. He rejected his father's teaching on this matter. He rejected the way he was taught and came his own way. He didn't come by faith. He rebelled against God's revealed way of worship. Coming by faith first means coming in obedience to the revealed will of God. What has God said that you and I sinners, how are we to approach unto him? Well, according to his gospel, the only way to approach unto God is based on the imputed righteousness of his son. That's the only basis upon which God will take the worship of any sinner. So coming by faith is coming according to the revealed will of God, but it also means coming in the confidence of one to whom God has given faith. We come by the testimony of God. We come in obedience to what he's commanded, but we come as one who has been given faith by God. Look back at our text, Hebrews 11 and verse 4. It says here, by which Abel obtained witness. By which refers back to this more excellent sacrifice. His sacrifice testified. He obtained witness by it. He received a testimony from it. And the sacrifice Abel brought, it was a witness for him. It was bearing a testimony for him. His sacrifice was testifying on his behalf. Now this is all the language of a courtroom. When a defense lawyer needs to strengthen his case, what does he do? He brings in an expert witness. This witness is probably a doctor of something, maybe of child psychology or criminal behavior or whatever kind of expert he needs. And this expert has probably written a book or two. The testimony of this expert will carry a lot of weight with the jury. This witness is brought in to convince that jury that his client could not be guilty of the crime that he's charged with. Now, the sacrifice Abel brought was his expert witness. His sacrifice gave convincing testimony that Abel's worship would be, not might be, but would be accepted by God. And it would be accepted not because of the sacrifice, nor because of Abel's diligence in bringing what God commanded. Abel looked beyond the blood, beyond the sacrifice he offered. He looked to the one who was pictured and typified in that sacrifice. His worship would be accepted, not might be, it would be accepted because his sacrifice pictured the one whose righteousness enabled God to be just and justify or declare righteous unworthy sinners like himself. Abel's sacrifice gave evidence that his hope was in the righteousness of the woman's seed. It was in the righteousness of that coming Messiah. According to God, he'll save every sinner who comes to him based on that same righteousness. Listen to Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, Christ is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God. How? By him. Based on his righteousness. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. All who come to God by him will be saved to the uttermost. Abel came to God by Christ. He came pleading the blood of his surety. That's why he came with confidence that he'd be accepted. He didn't come doubting. He didn't come wondering. He knew God would accept it. And it was the testimony of his sacrifice that gave him that confidence. Now Cain, he was not a man of faith. He didn't believe God's testimony. He rejected God's way and came his own way. He didn't see his nakedness. He didn't see his exposure to God's wrath. He didn't see his worthlessness of his deeds as far as recommending him to God or giving him any acceptance with God. Therefore, he saw no need for the blood. He saw no need for a substitute. Cain, he couldn't see beyond the blood. He couldn't see what Abel saw. He didn't see past the blood to the person the blood represented. He couldn't see what Abel's sacrifice pictured. All Cain could see was a bloody mess. So he brought what he thought was better. What he thought, surely, if Abel's accepted by blood, I'll surely be accepted by this, by the best of my hands. It's the best I got, after all. But Cain was rejected. But unto Cain and to his offering, God had no respect. Rejection is all that any sinner will find who attempts to worship God by the works of their hands, which is what? It's anything other than the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain's because he offered it by faith. It was offered in obedience to God's revealed will. And it was offered with confidence that Abel, his person, was accepted, and therefore his sacrifice would be also. How can any sinner have such confidence? How can I have confidence that when I come to God, he's going to accept me? I know he will. I don't have any problem with it. It's because of what the sacrifice I bring testifies. The third reason Abel's sacrifice was more excellent is because it testified, it gave convincing evidence that Abel was righteous. Look back here at Hebrews 11 and verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Abel brought the blood of a lamb. His sacrifice pictured the substitutionary death of Christ. His sacrifice declared that his hope of salvation was in the imputed righteousness of his substitute. Abel's sacrifice was his expert witness. And his expert witness sacrificed that Abel was righteous. God, the judge, confirmed the testimony of Abel's witness. God himself testified of Abel's gifts. And how did he do that? How did God testify of Abel's gifts? Look back at Genesis 4. In verse 4, and Abel, he brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and God had respect unto Abel and to his offering. He accepted him, his person, and his sacrifice. God had respect unto Abel and his offering. He accepted Abel's person first, and therefore he accepted Abel's offering. Now, he couldn't have accepted Abel's offering if he hadn't first accepted his person. How could Abel's person already be accepted before he even brought an offering, before he even came before the Lord? How could his person already be accepted? Now, right here on this point, God has to overcome our natural way of thinking. You see, the natural way of thinking is, well, you bring your offering and God accepts you because of your offering. No, it's just the opposite of that. God's got to accept your person before he can accept your offering. Abel's acceptance was in the beloved. Abel, like each of God's elect, was accepted in Christ before the world began. Listen to Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Those who come to God, those whom God has accepted, will in time come to him and plead the merits of Christ's blood and righteousness. All that the Father has given to Christ, all whose salvation the Father conditioned on Christ, put in his hands, made him responsible for as the surety, like Jim prayed in his prayer. He took this obligation upon himself before the world began. He said, Father, if they've wronged you or owe you anything, put it on my account. I'll be the one to pay it. And all that the Father has given to Christ will in time come to Christ. He will be their sacrifice. He will be their offering to God. And they'll come to God, a just God and Savior. And God, having accepted them in Christ before the foundation of the world, will have respect. He will accept them and their offering just like he did Abel's. Because Abel was already accepted, he brought the sacrifice that pictured Christ, the one in whom he found his acceptance. And the sacrifice he brought testified on his behalf that he was righteous. Now there's something we need to be right clear on right here on this point. Abel's sacrifice is not what made him righteous. His sacrifice, in fact, made up no part of his righteousness. His bringing what God commanded did not make him righteous. In other words, coming by obedience to God's revealed will, that didn't make up any part of his righteousness either. Abel's sacrifice only pictured the one by which God declared him righteous. God accepted Abel because he was already righteous. He was righteous because God had made him so. By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And in that verse we could all quote, 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Christ to be sin that we might be made legally accounted righteous in God's sight based on his righteousness imputed alone. God accepted Abel's offering because his offering declared that his hope was in the blood, the imputed righteousness of Christ alone. And by that, his offering declared, it testified that Abel was righteous. Cain, on the other hand, he was far from righteousness. God rejected Cain. He rejected his person, and he rejected his offering. Now that rejection, like Brother Jim said, it angered Cain. He got mad at God and killed his brother. And according to the scriptures, he did so because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Listen to 1 John 3 and verse 11. This is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. The only works recorded about Cain are his religious works. He came to worship God. He brought the best of his hands. Contrary to our thinking by nature, we all grew up under the message of Cain. We've all walked in the evil of Cain. We're taught the ways of Cain. Listen to Jeremiah 13 and verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? Then may you also do good that are accustomed to do evil. That word is taught. We've all been taught to do evil. Who taught us? Our fathers, our traditions, our religion, all taught us to do evil. Now, by nature, we don't like to hear that we were ever like Cain. Now, we want to side with Abel. We don't want to be like Cain. But in reality, we were taught to bring the works of our hands. When we were ignorant of the only way God would accept us based on Christ's imputed righteousness alone, we were all coming to God based on something else. And whatever else that was, it was the works of our hands. That's what the scripture says of us. I'm going to summarize Romans 3, 10 through 18 here. It says there's none righteous, none seeking after God, no fear of God before their eyes. In other words, there's no reverence and respect for the God who justifies the ungodly based on the imputed righteousness of Christ. These things are spoken about all the sons and daughters of Adam without exception. God has to teach sinners his way of salvation. Until he does, all walk in the ways of Cain. That's why we have to be thankful for the last point in this lesson. Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain's because his sacrifice testified that he was righteous. Cain's sacrifice testified that he was evil. Now, the last point of the message is this. Abel's sacrifice was more excellent because by his sacrifice, Abel's still speaking today. Look back at Hebrews 4, 11 and verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Still speaking. Abel's message is still being heard. It's still going out. It's still being proclaimed. And Abel still speaks through that message. That message he rang out, because the message he rang out is none other than the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ. It's the good news of how God could accept into his presence an ungodly sinner like him or like you or me and yet be righteous when he does it. It's the message of how God can be just and yet justify ungodly sinners. Abel is still proclaiming because according to God's testimony, Abel's way is the only way that a sinner can worship the true and living God. If you're in Hebrews there, just look at Hebrews 11 and verse 6. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must believe. If we come to God, we've got to believe that he is. You can't come to God until you know him by faith. You can't come to God until you are persuaded that he justifies the ungodly based on the imputed righteousness of Christ alone. That's his testimony. And that's what by which faith we come. That's what distinguishes God from the idols of men's imagination. That's what he said in Isaiah 45. He said, look unto me. Who's the me? A just God and a Savior. Abel's sacrifice pictured the one by whose righteousness imputed, God declares otherwise ungodly sinners righteous in his sight. Abel came by faith. He came in obedience to God's revealed way of worship. He came confident that God would accept his worship. And he was confident because his sacrifice testified that he was righteous. He still speaks through his sacrifice every time a gospel message is proclaimed in this world. The most urgent need in the life of any sinner is to hear Abel's message, to hear God's gospel, and keep on hearing it. Don't just hear it one time, but just be under it. Be where it is. Christ said to some in John 8 who believed on him, they believed that he was Messiah. Here's what he said to them. He said, if you continue in my word, the words that declare him, the words that present him aright to your understanding, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You got to continue in that word. See, we're just beginning to be taught when God brings us into this right relationship with him. That's just the beginning of things. I mean, some of us have been under this gospel for 30 years, and right now I marvel at how little I really know about what this word actually said. The gospel is a simple message. This book that declares it is very complicated. All right, look back one last time in our text, and I'll close. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. I encourage everybody listening to me to learn Abel's way of worship. Learn the Christ Abel looked to. Learn the righteousness Abel rested in. Learn all you can about Abel's more excellent sacrifice.